الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and each and every one who follows them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me and you among them, make us among those who are successful and those who favor the life to come over the life of this dunya. Verily, whoever has been guided to that has been guided to an abundance of goodness. Brothers and sisters in Islam, continuing with the book Kashf al-Shubuhat fi Tawheed, removing doubts concerning Tawheed. And for those who are listening to this for the first time, this book deals with the misconception that is present among many so-called Muslims concerning the worshipping of the righteous dead people. Worshipping graves, in other words, going to the grave of such and such wali, Abdul Qadir al-Jilani or otherwise, and believing that these people can benefit or harm, and that they will intercede for you with Allah, or anything along these lines. Very common among the Muslims today, people go to the Medina not to pray in the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but to go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to make du'a to him and not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while they're in the house of Allah, in the Masjid where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray to Allah. Now people go to pray to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you come and tell them this is wrong, then they will have some answers. And they will bring some doubtful matters. If you don't have any knowledge, you will not be able to deal with them. And this book is practical in its instructions of how to deal with these individuals in very basic ways. And in our last session, we mentioned that the Shaykh mentioned that there are two ways of refuting these people. We said al-mujmal wal-mufassal, the general way and the detailed way. And the general way is the one in which surah? There's an ayah in the book of Allah which is yani all that you need. Anytime, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, anytime somebody brings you a misconception, then there's one ayah in the book of Allah that is the foundation for dealing with all of these issues. And some of the brothers were supposed to memorize this so they can get a gift or a reward. Anyone remembers which? Al-Imran verse 7. Did you memorize it? Faddal. That's ayah maybe 6. Or ayah 8. 7. That's different. I want the ayah. Come on, you brothers, man. How many of you have memorized Surah Al-Falaq? Raise your hand. How many know Surah Al-Falaq? Qul a'udhu Rabbi Al-Falaq. It's the same thing. Two lines. Not even, this one is smaller. But you need that. You need that for da'wah. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب. Right? هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب فيه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. طيب. It is he who sent down the book upon you, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In it are verses that are entirely clear. Clear. قل هو الله أحد. هن أم الكتاب. They are the mother of the book. They are the foundation of the book. وأخر متشابهات. And other ayat that are ambiguous. إنا نحن نزلنا ذكرى. Verily, we send down the ذكر. We. What does it mean? Does it mean that there's more than one God? It could carry more than one meaning unless you know what it means. But so a person will come and say, there's more than one God, even in the Quran. Because the Quran says we. So who's we? Right? This is a
ambiguous. So how do we explain it? We say, listen, we need to go back to the mother of the book, the foundation, right? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Can you interpret it in more than one way? Can it accommodate plurality? No. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. We know أَحَد from واحد, one. So there's no ambiguity there. So anytime someone brings to you something that may have more than one meaning, which is the mutashabihat, then you refer them back to the muhkamat, the ayat that are entirely clear or decisive. And Allah says, verily, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٍ. As for those who have deviance in their hearts. See, they don't want to go on the straight path. They have deviance. يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَبَهَ مِنْ. They follow that which is ambiguous. Why? ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ. Seeking trials. Seeking fitna. وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ. And seeking the interpretation according to their desires. Then Allah says, and none knows the interpretation but Allah. وَالرَّاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّ بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. And those who are firm in knowledge, they say, we believe in all of it. We believe in everything, it's all from Allah. So the ayat al-muhkamat wal-mutashabihat, it's all from Allah. And none remembers except the people of understanding. So then the first way to deal with the, anyone who brings a misconception about Islam in a general way is this ayah. Somebody tells you, well, I'm not really worshipping the dead. I'm not really worshipping the grave, the person in the grave. I am only using him as means of intercession. Then you take him back to this ayah. Say, listen, we know from the Quran that this is what the disbelievers of Quraysh, this is the same reality they were living. They said the same thing. قَالُوا هَا وَيَقُولُونَ هَا أُولَٰئِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They say about their idols, these are our intercessors with Allah. Only, if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. Right? Remember the, in the beginning of the book, if you ask the disbelievers of Quraysh, who created the heavens and the earth, they will say, سَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. They will say Allah. طيب. So you believe that Allah is the creator and sustainer and arranger of affairs, and so do the disbelievers of Quraysh. They used to say that these idols of theirs were only intercessors for them. شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And you saying that this dead person is also an will intercede with you, for you with Allah. So you're the same. Now it's the same thing. And so we take it back to the ayat al-muhkamat, the ayat that are entirely clear. This is the general refutation. Then we said the specific refutation is where you actually deal with more details. And then there were other verses that the brothers were hopefully would remember. The one in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Does anyone remember that one? It looks like I'm going to keep the prizes for myself. As far as I know, that's what I'm going to take them home with me. Huh? The ones in Surah Al-Ma'idah about Isa, Jesus. وَمَا الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامَ. And the Messiah, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many messengers have passed before him. And his mother was a woman of truth, صَدِّيقَةٌ كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامَ. They used to eat food, meaning they were human beings, they were not divine. انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات ثم انظر أن يؤمنون. Look how we make the signs clear for them, then look how they are deluded away. So this was used for what? To prove to them that the disbelievers were not only worshipping statues, sculptures, they were also worshipping righteous people. They were also calling on to Jesus, who was a human being. So this is in case they tell you the difference between us and disbelievers of Quraysh, is that the disbelievers of Quraysh, they were worshipping statues. We are not worshipping statues, we're calling on to a righteous man. So we say, look, Allah criticized both those who worship the statues and those who worship human beings like Jesus. And the ayah afterwards, what does it say? قُلْ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. قُلْ أَتَعْبُدُونَ. Say, after Allah mentioned about Jesus, say, do you worship besides Allah that which carries no benefit or harm to you? So Allah calls the act that the Christians do with Jesus, ibadah. Calling on to Jesus, ibadah. Jesus is a human being. So still then they are in the realm of shirk. They have not went outside the realm of shirk. And this is that the detailed explanation. We started that ayah. The next ayah, وَاذْكُرْ قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يَقُولُ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ أَهَؤُلَاءِ إِيَّاكُمْ كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ. Surah Saba, verses 40 and 41, the Shaykh said, and quote to him the ayah, after quoting the ayah about Jesus in Surah Al-Ma'idah, quote to them this ayah, and when Allah will gather all of them, all of the creation, all together, then He will say to the angels, now the angels, are they statues? Are the angels statues? No. They are a creation of Allah, made of light. They are made of light, they don't eat, they don't drink. And they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will tell the angels, did these people, speaking of the disbelievers at the time, in the event of the Day of Judgment, did these people used to worship you? They will say, the angels, Subhanak, glory be to you. And we said, tasbih means glorifying Allah above any imperfection. Basically, you're saying how free you are, O Allah, from any deficiency or imperfection. Meaning all perfection is due to Allah alone. This is what tasbih means when you say Subhanallah. Meaning Allah is free from any deficiency, any fault, any imperfection. And this only belongs to Allah. No one can say Subhan, you know, to another human being, because no one is free from imperfections. So the angels will say, glory be to you. You are our helper and protector besides them. Not them, you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the wali. بَلْ كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ الْجِنِ. These people, they were worshipping al-jinn. And who are the jinn? Shayateen. أَكْتَرُهُمْ بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of them in the jinn, they believe. And this is like the statement of Allah, أَلَمْ أَحَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ وَأَنْ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Surah Yasin, everybody should know that. Did I not, Allah says, did I not enjoin upon you, O children of Adam, that you do not worship the shaitan? So anyone who does not worship Allah is worshipping the shaitan. And this is very important, because sometimes when you give da'wah, you will get some funny people. They will tell you, you know, what's the purpose of life? You say, the purpose of life is to worship Allah. They will say, that's it? Why would God, you know, what's the point of, you know, what is this idea that you have to worship? Why do you have to worship? Why would God create you to worship Him only? You know, they may have some shubha. So you say, listen, each person is worshipping something. When you created, because you did not create yourself, because you are weak, you are dependent on everything else, you don't have any control. So you will, without a doubt, you will definitely worship something. So then the question is, what are you worshipping? You know, we take honor. If someone says, what is the purpose of life? Say, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He will say, yeah, this is the purpose of life. I'm honored by this. I'm honored that I'm worshipping the one who deserves to be worshipped. Because everyone else is worshipping something. No one is not worshipping anything. And the worst case scenario is a person worships his own ideas and his own desires. Like the atheist who doesn't believe in God, he's really worshipping his ideology. He's taken his hawa as his God. Allah mentioned these in the Quran. Have you seen those who have taken their own desires as their God? Whatever his mind tells him to do, he does. This is his God. Because the God is the one that tells you what to do and what not to do, not your mind. So when you take your mind as the thing that tells you what to do and what not to do, this is your God. So then, if everyone is worshipping something, then the question remains, are you worshipping the one that deserves to be worshipped, or are you worshipping the one who doesn't deserve to be worshipped? And this is where the Muslims are the only ones on the planet and elsewhere that worship the one who deserves to be worshipped. No one worships Allah but us, and all praise is due to Allah. These houses, these masajid, are for Allah. If you go to any other place of worship, for any other religion, they are worshipping some form of creation. Some form of creation that they claim is the manifestation of God, the incarnation of God, or any other justification that they may give you. But in reality, they're worshipping shaitan. Shaitan has beautified for them this concept, so they believe that they were upon the path. So then the Muslims, alhamdulillah, stand independent from the rest of the religions and the rest of the people. This is why we should take honor and dignity in Islam. This is why we are followed and we're not followers. We are leaders and we're not imitators in every aspect of life. That's why a Muslim should never imitate a kafir. You should never imitate a disbeliever in any aspect of their religion. And in any aspect, period, if you want to be really at the top, you leave alone everything that has to do with the mushrikeen and the kuffar altogether. And the Prophet ﷺ strove to do that. Every time the Jews or the Christians had something, he would make sure that the Muslims had something different. For example, when he fasted, when he came to Medina, and he found that the Jews were fasting on the day of Ashura, he asked them, why do you fast on this day? They said, it is the day where Allah saved us and Musa from Fir'aun. So we fast to Allah as means of thankfulness and gratefulness. He said, alayhi salatu salam, we have more right over Musa than you. We are the followers of Musa. You disbelieved in him. You gave him a hard time. So he said, he fasted that year. He said, and if I live till next year, I will fast another day. I will add another day. Why? So we will not resemble the Jews. Although we have more right of Musa, you can say, who cares what they do? But the Prophet ﷺ wanted to make sure that we do not resemble them, we do not imitate them. When the Jews did not used to pray in their shoes, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said, he commanded the believers to pray with their shoes. And he used to lead them in salah with his shoes. But they didn't have a carpet like today. Now that if you walk into the masjid with the shoes, they will beat you with the shoe. They will kick you out of the masjid with a shoe. So you can't really walk into the masjid today with your shoes, because people, it cannot digest the idea of shoe and carpet at the same time. But back then it was pebbles. It was sand. They didn't have, you know, a carpet, a fancy, Persian carpet or something like that. So the Prophet ﷺ actually used to lead them a salah in it with his shoes on. And the Sahaba used to pray on with their shoes. So because the Jews didn't, he said, Khaliful Yahud. Distinguish yourself from the Jews. Pray with your shoes. He seen some brothers with a white beard, very white beard. He said, Khalifu al-Mushrikeen, or Khalifu al-Majus, Khalifu al-Yahud. Distinguish yourself from the other disbelievers. Dye it with another color. And in one narration he said, avoid black. Some of the scholars have discussed the authenticity of that addition. This is another discussion. The idea is, every time he saw them do something, he alayhi salatu salam made sure that the Muslims had something independent. So much so that the Jews understood. And the Jews said, this man, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is not going to leave anything of our religion except that he will go against us in it. They understood the goal. Whatever they did, we were different. And this is how the Muslims lived in the beginning. During the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, the disbelievers used to imitate the Muslims, and they were not allowed. When they started wearing the imamah, the turban, Umar radiallahu anhu brought him in, and he made them all take it off. Because the people started confusing the Muslim with the non-Muslim. And this is a problem. Sometimes you come across a brother, and you want to give him the salam, but you don't know if he's a Muslim or not. You know, if he's wearing his hat, you know, sideways, and he's got, you know, his big baggy pants, and he looks like he's a rock star. I mean, if I don't give you the salam, don't get mad at me. You say, oh, some people get mad at you. You don't give me salam. I didn't know you were Muslim. I'm sorry. I mean, you're supposed to have your own identity. I could tell you're a Muslim either by your, you know, the way you appear, by your dress code, irrespective of the country, whether you're wearing the Pakistani outfit or the Indian one or the Indonesian one or whatever. Now, whatever is identified as a Muslim, to some extent, ما في مشكلة. But, or at least the nature of the dress code is, if it's even pants and shirt, it is with the Islamic context. So I will be able to tell from far that you're a brother in Islam. So I can give you a right of the salam, and you may get what you deserve. Otherwise, it's problematic. And this is something that is experienced. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So then it was the other way around. When the disbelievers wanted to imitate the Muslims, they were prevented from doing so. Hey, you keep your own stuff. We have our way. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. This is what happened. So nowadays, unfortunately, our youth in particular, they have a major misconception. And they believe that the sunnah of 50 cents or 50 halalas or 10 halalas, whatever, is this loser, big loser man, you know, and his likes of these rappers and these singers and these artists, they take them as examples. So they imitate them in their dress code, they imitate them in their behavior, they imitate them in their singing and things of this nature, and they abandon the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one that Allah chose as his messenger, and not these other losers. The one whom Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the messenger of Allah, you have not these other people. So then we should be aware of this reality and we should address these issues. And for brothers who have children, it is your responsibility that your child is brought up on following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of life. Islam did not only deal with your spiritual aspects, it dealt with the physical, spiritual, things dealing with your dress code, things dealing with your appearance, what hair to keep, what hair to shave. You have hair that you are supposed to shave in Islam, like that of your private area, some that you have to pluck, like that of the armpit, and the scholars say there's no problem in shaving it as well. And there's hair that you're supposed to leave alone. All this is from the deen of Allah, not culture, not what I like and what I dislike. It is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made it part of the deen. And if Allah made something part of the deen, no one can come and say this is unimportant. Because Allah would not reveal something that is unimportant. If the Prophet ﷺ said, "O Muslims, do this," meaning Allah loves it. Meaning it will get you closer to Allah. It is means of entering Jannah and being protected from the fire. So none of these should be taken يعني, as unimportant. And because it's very common among the Muslims now to ignore some things that are part of the deen that should not be ignored. So I hope inshallah in this you will find a reminder. So go back to our discussion. I don't know how I got here, but I always lose track of my thoughts, so forgive me. Ma'alish, if a brother's taking camera pictures, avoid taking a picture. If you want to take a video camera, that's another story, but an actual still image, I follow the position that it is not permissible to take photographic pictures, so kindly spare me, inshallah, the images. Plus, I look scary, especially from long distance. طيب. So then the jinn, the angels will say that we were worshipping Allah, glory be to you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were only worshipping the jinn, they were following the shayateen. They were not worshipping us, they were worshipping the shayateen. You are the only object of worship. This was in Surah Al-Sabah, verses 40 and 41. Another ayah. وقالت وقوله تعالى وإذ قال الله يا عيسى ابن مريم أنت قلت للناس اتخذوني وأمي إلهين من دون الله قال سبحانك ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق إن كنت قلته فقد علمت تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك إنك أنت علام الغيوب. سورة المائدة verse 116. And remember on the day of judgment. It says remember, by the way, if you notice the Quran, part of the miracle of the Quran, the eloquence of the Quran, is that it speaks about the events of the day of judgment in the past. It speaks about the events of the day of judgment in the past. The scholars say this is because it will happen for sure. Inevitably, it will happen so certain that these events will take place that you may, Allah speaks about them in the past because they will come into play. They will come into existence just as Allah mentioned in the Quran. So remember, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ when Allah said or will say on the day of judgment, O Isa, O Jesus, son of Mary, did you tell the people? Did you tell the people, take me and my mother as God besides Allah? Did you say this to the people, to the Christians particularly? He will say it again like the angels, Subhanak, glory be to you. It is not for me to say that which I have no right to say. Who is he to say that to worship? How can a human being call the people to worship him? And I remember a brother sent me a documentary once about one of these Hindus. I don't recall his name. This guy actually had people worshipping him. He came in a gathering. This was like in the 1970s. You know, the hippies in the United States always on drugs and always intoxicated. Yeah, they're sold. And they sold out their brain for cheap. These people used to travel all the way from America to India, okay, for this one individual. Then they'll be sitting in a gathering similar to this one, alhamdulillah, with much difference in the affairs of their hearts. And then this man will walk in wearing a thawb. This was the crazy part. Wearing a thawb, big beard, and he will sit down on a chair, and the people will worship him. They will go like this, you know, they wave their hands and they're crying with khushu' wallahi. If you see it, you'll think that this is a movie. You'll think this is not real. And he's just sitting there, he just closes his eyes and he opens them for 10 minutes and then he got up and he left. And so he told them that he is the manifestation of God. If you want to worship God, Then he tells the people, I am he. This is the ta'ut. This is the ta'ut. Someone who accepts himself to be a god. Someone who tells the people to worship him besides Allah. So then no messenger would ever say that. Particularly Isa or any of the chosen messengers of God. So he said, Subhanak, glory be to you. Speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not for me to say something that I have no right to say. Had I said it, you would have known it. Had I said such a thing, you would know. Subhanallah, Allah knows everything. I know what I am. You know what is in my inner self, and I do not know what is in yours. Verily, you are the knower of all the hidden and the unseen. So then these ayat are used in context of refuting the one who says that I am only worshipping living people or human beings, not statues. We say, look, in the Quran, angels are being worshipped for the verses of Allah, and the messengers are being worshipped. And Mary, who's not even a messenger or a prophet, was being worshipped. That indicates that any time you dedicate any act of worship to other than Allah, you're a mushrik. Irrespective of whether it is the ma'bud, the one that is being worshipped, whether it is a dead person or a living person, is it an idol, is it a statue, is the sun or the moon or your desires, now that doesn't matter. What matters is that you are not mukhlis lillah. You do not have sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your worship. You're worshipping something alongside with Allah, and this is shirk. This is what the Prophet ﷺ fought the people against. طيب. فَقُلْ لَهُ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ كَفَّرَ مَنْ قَصَدَ الْأَصْنَامِ وَكَفَّرَ أَيْضًا مَنْ قَصَدَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَقَاتَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ So you tell this person now, the one who worshipped the graves, say, listen, you have come to know that Allah has declared as disbelievers those who worship the statues and also those who worship the righteous people and the angels. He didn't mention the angels, but the angels as well. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought against them. He fought against them. فَإِنْ قَالَ الْكُفَّارُ يُرِيدُونَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ النَّافِعُ الضَّارُ الْمُدَبِّرُ لَا أُرِيدُ إِلَّا مِنْهُ وَالصَّالِحُونَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ وَلَكِنْ أَقْصُدُهُمْ أَرْجُو مِنَ اللَّهِ شَفَاعَتَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ أَقْصُدُهُمْ أَرْجُو مِنَ اللَّهِ شَفَاعَتَهُمْ If he says to you, see the kuffar, they wanted something from these statues. As for me, this is the one who worships the dead people in the grave. He says, I bear witness that it is Allah alone who benefits, and it is Allah alone who causes harm. And I do not, and he's the one who arranges the affairs, none but him. And these righteous people have nothing to do with that. The righteous people have nothing to do with that. I'm only seeking them for their intercession. I'm only seeking them, this is what he will tell you, for their intercession. فالجواب أن هذا قول الكفار سواء بسواء فقرأ عليه قوله تعالى والذين اتخذوا من دونه أولياء ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفى Say to him, this is the statement of the kuffar exactly. This is exactly what the kuffar said. And then recite to him the verses of Allah in the Quran in Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 3. And those who have taken awliya besides Allah, they say, we are only worshipping them so we may gain nearness to Allah. They will say, we're only worshipping them so we may become near to Allah. This is what the kuffar said, this is what the guy said. He said, I'm not worshipping them. I know that Allah is the one who benefits or harms. I'm only using them to intercede with Allah so I can get the benefit or harm. That's what I want. You say, this is just like the kuffar. Allah says in the Quran that they said the same thing. They said, we only worship these so we may receive nearness to Allah through the intercession. So you're still in the same hole. He didn't get out of the hole. And another ayah, Surah Yunus verse 18, which we dealt with last time, وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ And they will say, these are our intercessors with Allah. That's it. The only purpose of these mediators is that they are our intercessors with Allah. We're not worshipping them. We're only using them as intercessors. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الشُّبَهُ الثَّلَاثِ هِيَ أَكْبَرُ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَضَّحَهَا فِي كِتَابِهِ وَفَهِمْتَهَا فَهْمًا جَيِّدًا فَمَا بَعْدَهَا أَيْسَرَ مِنْهِ He said, so know that these three doubts are the best and the strongest arguments that they have. This is the best thing that they have. These three ones that were mentioned earlier. What are they? Number one, deny that we affirm that Allah is the Rabb. They say that we affirm that Allah is the Rabb. That's the first one. It is refuted in the Quran, because the disbelievers of Quraysh affirm the same thing. Second, they say, we are not worshipping statues, like the disbelievers of Quraysh. We're going to these righteous men. Then we give them the other one. Look, Allah mentioned the Quran, both shirk of the people who worship the statues and those who worship the living and the dead. And then the third one, they will say that we are not really worshipping them, we're only seeking intercession through them. Then you say, again, Allah refuted that in the Quran. This is the same thing that the disbelievers said. So these are the three greatest things that they have, and each one of them was refuted by Allah in the Quran. Subhanallah. Way before these people came about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has refuted that in the Quran, because it was applicable to the disbelievers then, and it is applicable to the disbelievers today, and it will be applicable to the disbelievers until the day of judgment. So he said, if you know this, that Allah had clarified it in His book very clearly, and you understood it very well, then everything that will come after is much easier. Yani this is the most difficult thing, and you've seen how easy it is. Then everything else, inshallah, will be much easier. فَإِنْ قَالَ أَنَا لَا أَعْبُدْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَهَذَا الْإِلْتِجَاءُ إِلَى الصَّالِحِينَ وَدُعَاؤُهُمْ لَيْسَ بِعِبَادَةٍ فَقُلْ لَهُ أَنْتَ تُقِرُّ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ إِخْلَاصَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَهُوَ حَقُّهُ عَلَيْكَ فإذا قال نعم فقل له بين لي هذا الذي فرضه الله عليك وهو إخلاص العبادة لله وحده وهو حقه عليك فإنه لا يعرف العبادة ولا أنواعها. He said, if the guy tells you, some family member of yours, anyone who you may come across in the future who was of these people, he will tell you, look, I do not worship except Allah. This iltija is like recourse or seeking help from people at the time of difficulty, referring to the people at the time of difficulty, iltija. He says this recourse to the righteous people and supplication is not ibadah. That which I'm doing, he will tell you, this is not ibadah. Then tell him, do you affirm that Allah had made obligatory upon you that you are sincere and you purify your worship to Him alone? Do you affirm that? He will say to you, yes. Of course Allah commanded me to be sincere in my religion to Him. Say to him, explain to me, what is it that Allah has made obligatory upon you? Explain to me that ikhlas of ibadah. Define it to me. How is it that you worship Allah alone without, and this is Allah's right upon you? How do you manifest that? He will not know what ibadah means, and he will not know the different kinds. He does not know. Usually these people are very ignorant. He will not be able to elaborate what ibadah is. So he will think dua may not fall under ibadah. He will tell you, what my salah is for Allah. But me asking this, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, let's say, in his grave, to make my child heal from some sickness, this is not ibadah. My ibadah is to Allah. I'm only making dua so he could intercede for me with Allah. So this is his understanding, because he doesn't have that detailed knowledge of what ibadah is. So you ask him to explain ibadah, he will get no answer, because he usually does not know all the intricate details of ibadah. فَبَيِّنْهَا لَهُ بِقَوْلِكَ. And you explain it to him. You don't leave him ignorant. قال الله تعالى ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. Your Lord says, call upon your Lord in secret, in humility and in secret. ادعوا ربكم. Call unto your Lord. Supplicate, invocate. Invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? In humility and in secret. فَإِذَا أَعْلَمْتَهُ بِهَذَا فَقُلْ لَهُ هَلْ عَلِمْتَ هَذَا عِبَادَةً لِلَّهِ. Inform him, then you ask him, is this worship to Allah? When Allah said, call upon your Lord in humility and in secret, is this ibadah? What is he going to say? Yes, because Allah commanded it and he said that you should do that. فَلَبُدَّ أَن يَقُولَ نَعْمِ. He will say yes. وَالدُّعَاءُ مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. Now, that particular narration, الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. مُخ is usually the brain. And what it means is the essence. Dua is the essence of ibadah. This particular narration is narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, and it is da'if. This particular narration, ad-du'a mukhul ibadah, dua is the essence of ibadah, is a weak narration that cannot be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we have another hadith with very similar wording, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Dua is ibadah, is worship. And this is narrated by Imam Ahmad and others, and this is sahih. So the wording of ad-du'a muqul ibadah narrated by al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah is unauthentic. But this was the one that was used in the book. The one that is authentic is ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. Du'a is worship. Not the essence of worship, but is worship. The meaning is the same in essence, but the narration is, one is authentic and one is otherwise. Either way, this person will agree with you that what Allah commanded, that du'a is ibadah. It is ibadah. Allah commanded that. He cannot deny that. طيب فقل له إذا أقررت أن عبادة, this is very strong, سبحان الله عجيب. إذا أقررت أن عبادة 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 الله, إذا أنها عبادة لله عفوا, ودعوت الله ليلا ونهارا خوفا وطمعا, ثم دعوت في تلك الحاجة نبيا أو غيره, هل أشركت في عبادة الله غيره؟ So you say to him, if you confirm that this is worship, and then you do that, you supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night and during the day. طيب خوفاً وطمعاً, in fear and in hope, you're doing that. Some calamity befalls upon you. Every day in the masjid, in the salah, fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, you keep asking Allah to alleviate the calamity and the difficulty. You know this is ibadah, du'a is ibadah, you understand that. طيب. Then you also decide to call on to a prophet or otherwise, along with Allah. Did you commit shirk or not? Huh? Yes, because the same act you were doing to Allah, now you're doing to someone else. And Allah told you you should do this to who? Ud'u Rabbakum. Call on to your Lord. So you agreed with me earlier that this is ibadah, and now that you've been doing it to Allah, and now you did it to another creation, you have fallen to shirk. And he will trap himself with that. You cannot refute that. If you did it, if you were supplicating to Allah, then you supplicated to the Prophet ﷺ, then you have given the Prophet ﷺ the right of Allah. Right? So this is shirk. This is the very shirk that Prophet ﷺ taught the people concerning. فلا بد أن يقول نعم فقل إذا علمت بقول الله تعالى فصلي لربك وانحر وأطعت الله ونحرت له هل هذا عبادة فلا بد أن يقول نعم. Say to him again, if you read the statement of Allah, so pray to your Lord and فصلي لربك وانحر and sacrifice the animals, يعني the نحر, sacrifice the animals. If you did that, if you prayed to Allah and you sacrificed an animal, is that ibadah or not? He will say, this is ibadah. This is active worship. فَإِنَّ حَرْضَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ نَبِيٍّ أَوْ جِنِّي أَوْ غَيْرِهِمَا هَلْ أَشْرَكْتَ بِهَذِ الْعِبَادَ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. So if you then sacrifice to other than Allah, like a jinni or a prophet or others, have you committed shirk with your any worship to Allah? He has to say yes. فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَقُولْ نَعْمْ. He has to admit. Because if you were doing this to Allah, then you shouldn't do it to someone else. Because this is Allah's right, independently. So this is very important. So when you say that, they say, I'm only making dua, I'm only seeking intercession, you say, Akhi, the intercession is from Allah. The intercession is granted by Allah, not His creation. On the Day of Judgment, intercession is only by the will of Allah. Which we believe in the intercession, we will deal with that, the Shaykh will deal with that later in the book. I'm not going to go ahead of myself. طيب فلا بد أن يقر ويقول نعم. وقل له أيضا المشركون الذي نزل فيهم القرآن هل كانوا يعبدون الملائكة والصالحين واللات وغير ذلك. Then say to him, the mushrikeen that the Quran was revealed upon of those during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did they worship the angels and the righteous people and Allat and like Lat al-Uzza وغير ذلك and others? They will say فلا بد أن يقول نعم. He will say to you, yes, of course they did. فقل له وهل كانت عبادتهم إياهم إلا في الدعاء والذبح والالتجاء ونحو ذلك. What do you think they worship to them? Was they worship to them anything than supplication, sacrificing and seeking aid, seeking help at the time of difficulty? This was what they were doing. Otherwise, they know that Allah is the Rabb. They know that Allah is the Creator. وَإِلَّا فَهُمْ مُقْرُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَبِيدُهُ وَتَحْتَ قَهْرِهِ. They admit that all the lads and all these gods and the righteous and the angels are all the subservient to Allah. They're all subservient to Allah under His command and under Allah's will. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الَّذِي يُدَبِّرُ أَمْرِ. It's Allah the one who arranges the affairs. وَلَكِنْ دَعُوهُمْ وَلَكِنْ دَعُوهُمْ وَالْتَجَرُ intercession session and for help at the time of difficulty, as Allah described in the Quran. So this is very clear. And so is this clear? If you come across someone like this, do you think you'll be able to deal with it? If you memorize the ayah. Even if you memorize them in Urdu or in Chinese or any language that you speak, if you don't want to memorize the Arabic because it's difficult for you, at least memorize the concept. So when you are dealing with the person, you can quote something from the Quran. You don't just tell him, Allah, I think. You have to give him an evidence. Say, Yaqi, Allah says this in Surah Al-Isra, in Surah Al-Ma'idah. You know, even if you have it on a piece of paper, and keep it in your wallet. You never know. You come across someone, say, I have it written down. You take out your wallet, say, listen, you have a Quran, you know, you pick it out, you show him. That's what Allah says in the Quran. And you explain to him systematically in this fashion how these people are falling into the same shirk, even worse than during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then there's no excuse for anyone to be ignorant about these things. There's no excuse for a Muslim to go to a grave and do tawaf around someone's grave, or to sit near a grave waiting for inspiration from the dead person, as is the case with many of the Sufis, you know, who believe that if you remain around the grave of such and such righteous man, you will get some inspirations on how to give da'wah or how to go about handling your business. A major disease, major sickness. And so we must be aware of that. So with this, inshallah, we will conclude this dars. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, if we all remain alive and safe and sound, inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll be dealing with the shafa'a. How to understand shafa'a, intercession. Because this is a point of difference. They claim that because we are telling them to worship Allah alone, that we don't believe in the shafa'a. But we do. But we believe in the shafa'a in the right context. Not in the shafa'a of the dead person in the grave, not that shafa'a. But the shafa'a of the hereafter, which we will be dealing with in somewhat of details, inshaAllah ta'ala, next week. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.